At the table of grace, the cup's never empty. The plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You are welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he dines with you and you with him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. At our last gathering at the table, we saw that the moment we became born again, we were not only delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God, but that the kingdom of God was also birthed in us simultaneously. We also saw that the kingdom of God within us is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We noted, even as we do emphatically now, that these three are not arranged randomly, but that they are arranged in order of priority, with righteousness as the foundation for peace and also for joy in the Holy Spirit. We began to seek the true understanding of what righteousness is, and we got as far as seeing that the Bible is replete with witnesses that testify that righteousness is diametrically opposed to sin, even as light is to darkness. We saw that sin is the core nature of the devil packaged in his word of lie. We concluded our meal by noting that acts of sin, otherwise called evil or iniquity, are the manifestations of the nature of the devil himself. Today, we will continue with our quest to understand what righteousness is in truth. Our main dish is served from the words of our Lord Jesus, taken from John chapter 17 and verse 25. O righteous Father, indeed the world has not known you, but I have known you, and this I've known that you have sent me. His first three words, O righteous Father, are of particular interest to us. For us to gain the true understanding of what righteousness is, we begin at the beginning with John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is God. Put otherwise, God is revealed in His Word. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, our Lord Jesus reveals what the Word of God is. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. In other words, God is truth. Now, the apostle of our Lord Jesus described the means by which we were born by our Heavenly Father in these words written in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A complementary verse to this is written to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word of God, otherwise called the word of truth by the apostle James, is called seed by the apostle Peter. And we know that every seed produces after its kind. What then is the fruit produced in us when we received the word of truth? Put otherwise, what is the produce of the seed of the word of God that was planted in our hearts by believing God's testimony that our Lord Jesus is his Son? The Apostle Paul answers this for us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness is the fruit produced by the seed, by the word of the kingdom planted in our hearts when we received our Lord Christ. In other words, righteousness is the nature of God embodied in his word of truth. Now that we have seen that righteousness is the nature of God embodied in his word, what does righteousness truly mean? The apostle of our Lord Jesus unveils an intrinsic character of God in James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. The apostle begins by stating categorically that whenever anyone is being enticed to sin, he should not say that God is the one enticing him. And he goes further to make an absolute declaration that there is no correspondence with evil in God. In other words, it is absolutely impossible for God to be moved to do evil. Neither is it possible for God to tempt us with evil. The devil is called the tempter in Matthew chapter 4 verse 3 and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5. This absolute in God is reaffirmed in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, we see that the nature of God in his seed is such that it is impossible for him to do wickedly. Here is the conclusion of what is being said. Righteousness is the nature of God that makes him absolutely incapable of doing evil. Righteousness is the absolutely unchanging inward propensity in God to perpetually do only good and that which is just. Seeing that we have refreshed our understanding of what righteousness truly is, we will begin to see how it works in you and I, with a view to inwardly walking in its practical reality of heaven on earth, and outwardly, consistently showing forth the glad tidings of the kingdom of heaven. For us to progressively achieve our objective, it is expedient that we see in some detail how God accomplished in us the impossible feat of transforming us from the inherent sin nature of the devil we were all born with to becoming one who is righteous as our Heavenly Father is. We begin with the foreshadowing of this process, as it is written concerning the church in the wilderness in Numbers 21 and verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had beaten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 and Revelation chapter 20 verse 2, the devil is called the old serpent. This prefiguring in the wilderness was a prophecy of the judgment passed on the prince of this world, or, if you would, the judgment on sin. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, our Lord Jesus revealed that this shadow was to be fulfilled in him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, his apostle writes concerning the fulfillment of the brazen serpent of the wilderness in our Lord Jesus. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Simply put, in his crucifixion, our Lord Jesus was made by his Father to become a partaker of the sin nature of the devil, that in believing that he is the Son of God, you and I might be made partakers of the righteous nature of God in his resurrection. The apostle describes us in this incredible transformation as new beings in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he gives the specifics of the new man in Christ Jesus, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man in Christ Jesus is created after the likeness of God, righteous and holy. Here is a summary of what we are saying. In our union with our Lord Christ, we became partakers of the righteous nature of our Father. On this note, we will conclude our meal and leave you with these words taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comments and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161, 0817-955-9161, or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com, thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your I just wanna love you.